This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to New Beginnings. I am Freddie Bell. Joining us today is the Dr. Michael Osterholm. He is an epidemiologist, and he has some interesting views on COVID-19 and various aspects of it. Leibel Sternbach joins us this week talking about your money and finance. Joe McKenzie, our career expert, is here with us, too, along with Unity South Twin Cities. We have a lot lined up for you today, and New Beginnings starts right now. Joining us right now is Dr. Michael Osterholm, still advising the president on issues involving COVID-19, epidemiologist. Good morning, sir, and welcome back.
Good morning, Freddie. It's always good to be back with you. Always good.
Yes, sir. Glad you're with us. Let's start right here. I've got three things I want to chat with you this morning about. COVID, of course, the pox, and polio. Let's start with COVID. The CDC is loosening its COVID restrictions, shifting us closer to pre-pandemic norms. But I'm wondering, what does this mean for our children?
Well, you know, Freddie, we are at a very difficult time, for lack of a better way to say it, about COVID. And that is that as a country, we're done with it. The public is not at all interested in trying to deal with COVID right now, other than the fact that it's in our rearview mirror. Unfortunately, that's not the case. For the last 12 weeks, we've had over 500 deaths a day from COVID in this country, which places it as the number four cause of death in the country. And we're still seeing cases occur. And what's happening is, in part, it is those who have not been vaccinated yet who finally get infected, who will get seriously ill. It's those who have had two doses of vaccine but not additional boosters, which have been very, very important in reducing the likelihood of severe illness, hospitalizations, or deaths. And so, you know, my message is if you're at increased risk for having a serious COVID illness, like an older individual, you have underlying health conditions that we've talked about so many times, you still need to make sure you have as many doses of vaccine as you're eligible for, three or four doses for the people who are immune compromised, five doses. And then we need to make sure that if you're in public places, I still wear my N95 respirator. I fit into that category of older, at risk for serious illness. I've had all my vaccine doses. But so I think it's still important to remind people of that. Now, the vast majority of people today who are going to get infected, which a lot of people are, and reinfected, you know, they aren't necessarily going to have life-threatening illness, but even still, we see people laid up for 7 to 10 days with pretty significant illness. So this thing is not done yet. As far as our kids, we've had tremendous transmission in kids over the past 4 to 5 months. So many of them have already been infected once. We know that over 550 kids under age 5 have died from COVID in this country, most of them within the last 6 to 8 months with the Omicron. Most people don't know that. So it's still important to get your kids vaccinated. Even if they've been previously infected, get that additional dose. Just protect them from getting infected again or having serious illness.
You mentioned the Omicron variant. A newly updated COVID booster shots are being designed to target Omicron's BA5 subvariant. You've told us before that new boosters aren't the way to combat this disease. What's your opinion about it? Should we be looking at Moderna's bivalent shot or Pfizer's shot?
Well, you know, at this point, again, I come back and say the most important dose of vaccine you get is the one you actually get. And so meaning that you should get vaccinated as soon as possible. We still see a lot of transmission out there. Now, will the BA5 do better than the old vaccine or the previous vaccine? And the answer is we don't know. We don't really have the data to tell you that. And it's surely possible it could have some improvement. But I know right now that people every day are not getting vaccinated with their boosters and are getting seriously ill and dying. Right now, we rank in the bottom quartile countries around the world for getting booster doses. This is ridiculous. So there are many, many low-income countries that have more people who have booster doses in the population than we do. So I think it's really important. I can't emphasize it enough. These booster doses have such an important part to play in reducing your risk of serious illness, hospitalizations, and deaths. I wouldn't wait until the BA5 subvariant finally shows up, that vaccine.
Everyone, we're talking with Dr. Michael Osterholm, our wonderful epidemiologist. Given that COVID-19 really impacts black Americans at the onset of the global pandemic, I guess it's no surprise that this community has been hit hard by long COVID. There was a study that said roughly 700,000 people in the United States have long COVID. However, the black community, people who are underserved with health are really experiencing this more. Can you comment on that, sir?
Well, I think it is a very important piece. Remember, first of all, in the black community itself, many of these individuals are essential workers, people who, if they weren't on their jobs, our society could not run. And so they didn't have the opportunity to run from the virus. They almost had to run into the virus. And, you know, we owe them so much for what they've done that way. And if you look at, in addition to that, not only the impact of long COVID, which is exactly right, but even the number of deaths, if you look at that, how many people have died from COVID in the black community, you know, that too is a serious challenge. So this has surely had disproportionately impacted the black community, and we're seeing exactly the same thing with long COVID.
I shift gears now to talk about, I call it the pox. What is the, I don't want to call it by the name that everybody else is calling it. What is your concern about the pox in America? We see that there are 85 last Friday pox conditions in the state of Minnesota.
Well, you know, this is a difficult one to address head on because people will say no matter what you try to talk about, you're somehow stigmatizing someone. And I'm an epidemiologist where I just try to call balls and strikes so that we know who we need to get the message to reduce the risk and what can they do to reduce the risk. There has been a disproportionate number of cases among black and brown members of our community. And partly this is due to the fact that it's men having sex with men with anonymous partners, but also the spillover then in terms of the number of individuals who are bisexual, who we see then having sexual contact with women who then get infected. And in some rare cases, even transmission in the household where someone who has these vesicles, these pustule-like materials in their arms or wherever, touching kids. And then, you know, not in a sexual way, but in just in the everyday life in a household, and then transmitting rarely to those. So we do have to acknowledge that this is a real challenge, and we need to get vaccine to these communities. Right now, they have been tremendously underserved in terms of getting vaccine.
And finally, let's talk about, we're just about out of time, let's talk about polio. How concerned are you about the resurgence of polio in America?
You know, Freddie, I'm really concerned. This is one of those ones that's going to sneak up on us all of a sudden and I think take a big bite out of us. You know, we've lived in a world where polio was almost a rarity. It was almost completely gone. And unfortunately, it's made its way back. And part of it is due to the fact that we, as a world, and particularly in this country, have taken for granted the power and the importance of vaccines. The situation we see right now in the New York City metropolitan area where Rockland County and Orange County were two counties adjacent to New York City where we're seeing this major polio activity relative to what we're picking up in the wastewater systems, et cetera. And note that only about 1 or 2% of individuals who get infected actually get paralytic polio. Mm-hmm. And so by the time you start seeing a group of paralytic polio cases, you know you've got a lot of it in your community. And the challenge is in these counties, less than 30% of the kids are vaccinated in many neighborhoods. We're seeing across the board people who are now saying, well, I'm not going to get my child vaccinated. There's no polio out there. Well, that's why there is no polio out there, because we've been vaccinating. If you stop, you're going to start to see it. It'll spread. And so I think this, the whole country right now, and for that matter, the world, is on an alert to say, you know, as the old oil fram commercial many years ago used to say, you can pay me now or you'll pay me later. And if we pay later, it will mean that we will have many individuals who ultimately experience paralytic polio. And so I think I can't state it any more strongly to please everyone be up to date in your vaccines for your kids. And even if you're young adults, many of them today now have lived through the period where they skipped their vaccines and they still don't have them. And that's what we saw with the case that we just recently had in Rockland County. It was a young adult who'd never been vaccinated. So vaccine is the tool that we must all use.
With all three topics or all three medical conditions we've covered this morning, what is your final thought for our audiences with all three as we go into the fall and winter months of 2022?
You know, public health, vaccines, and infectious diseases are kind of like weather. Every day they happen. And I think it's really important that we understand that the need to keep getting vaccinated is so, so important. You know, the job is never done. Even if everybody today is vaccinated, a year from now, if we didn't keep that up, we'd have a large number of people not vaccinated who would then be at risk for this disease. So just know that our job is never done. And that means for the people in our community, your job is to get yourself vaccinated or your kids vaccinated to protect them. Because it's far too late once someone has, for example, a case of paralytic polio, it's far too late to go back and try to reverse that now and say, I wish I'd only. So that's the message. We got to stay the course. Stay the course.
Well said. We'll stay the course. That's Dr. Michael Osterholm. Thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Thanks, Freddie. Anytime. I appreciate being with you.
Same here. Take care. Thanks so much for listening to New Beginnings. If you enjoy movies like I do, here are a few that are coming up in the next several weeks. September 8th is the release of Pinocchio on Disney Plus with Tom Hanks. September 30th, Hocus Pocus 2, also on Disney Plus. October 14th, Halloween Ends with Jamie Lee Curtis. And on October 21st, Black Adam with Dwayne Johnson. Yes, he is The Rock. We're back with more New Beginnings right after this.
This is a news-oriented broadcast, and all information is educational in nature, is not intended to be legal, securities, tax, or insurance advice. Please consult with the appropriate professional before acting on information heard during the broadcast.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Now let's turn our attention to financial health and retirement with Libel Sternbach, Amazon's best-selling author of Living with Financial Anxiety and Authenticity. He's a great man. I enjoy talking with you, Libel. We're talking about recession. Where are we, in your opinion?
So I think that we're on the cusp of something. Right now, we're kind of on a knife's edge. I think overall our economy is growing. I think that parts of our economy are either slowly recovering, and I think parts of our economy are shrinking, and now we're having healthy shrinking, right? Because they boomed during the pandemic, right? We know, like, housing, right? Housing boomed during the pandemic. New houses were going up like crazy. People were doing renovations, right? A friend of mine owns a home renovation company. He was busy, like he couldn't believe the last 2 years. And he said now, this summer, he usually during the summers, he's out at appointments until 10 o'clock at night, and now nobody wants to meet with him. And so I think that there's a certain amount of healthy correction that's happening. So that I see as being like a little bit healthy, you know, like, yeah, I hate the fact that his, you know, income is going down, you know, he's my friend, but at the same time, you know, we all agree house prices went through the roof way more than they should have, right? Everyone acknowledges that fact. We also know that, you know, there's portions of the economy that are the prices, you know, food, right? Energy. Those are really high costs right now, and we need to bring those back down. So we want to kind of reset things, right? We want some things to reset. At the same time, right, we have some technology companies that are doing really well and some technology companies that probably should, you know, be taken out back and shot and put to pasture. and this is, I think right now we're having kind of a, you know, a post-COVID high. We're coming down from that high. You know, it's that sugar rush, that sugar crash. You know, the two-year-old was got into the candy after Halloween. That was COVID, and now they're crashing in the closet. And this is this is what's happening. So now, the question is: the parents in the house, are they going to help the two-year-old find their bed and, you know, find a nice, peaceful, calm way to get through this transition? Mm-hmm. Or are they going to make things worse, right? And we've both seen parents do, you know, and we've probably both been there of, you know, handling it the right way and the wrong way. But that is really the job of government, the job of Fed right now, is to handle our economy that is kind of going through a fit, kind of trying to figure out, you know, what's happening and where are we going, and try to incentivize it to go in a healthy direction rather than an unhealthy direction.
You mentioned incentivize. So what are some of the keys or levers that the economy or the government can pull to help us to right size or get back on a better track?
So one of the levers that they can pull is interest rates. That's a simple lever. Another one they can do is they can control, they can incentivize who is buying things and who is selling things. So they can put taxes on the buying and selling of properties, of investments, of businesses. So they can say, if you're going to go into, you know, XY business or this sector, you're going to have a tax break, or you're going to be penalized for going in there. They can incentivize people for manufacturing, right? So they can say, if you build these goods here, if you build and sell them here, you're going to get a tax break, and we're going to put tariffs on if you import them, right? And do things like that to try to incentivize those behaviors. There are little things that they can do that way. There's also they can do from a regulatory standpoint, right? They could decrease regulation. So regulation, a small amount of regulation, a healthy amount of regulation increases competition. It creates a standard playing field for everyone in the industry, so everyone knows how to play in this industry. However, too much regulation creates a financial burden and makes it hard for new people to get into the industry. So something that they can do is they can say, well, if you're a startup and you're under a certain amount of revenue, you don't have to comply with certain regulations. Or they give you actually financial incentives and they say, here are grants to start a new company in this industry. And not only that, but you don't have to comply with all of these, you know, reporting requirements and these oversight requirements that are very financially cumbersome for new people in this industry. And that is how a lot of people, right, get into these things. Think Tesla, right? The only way Tesla was able to exist was because the government created the ability to buy and sell tax credits when it comes to green energy. Tesla makes 10 times more money selling tax credits than they do selling cars. Mm. And so it's by creating those incentives that the government is able to incentivize these activities and the economic growth. They can also go into partnership with private businesses. So, for instance, the government spends trillions of dollars. And so through their bidding system of how they say what they grant those bids to, they can say, well, we're going to be incentivizing, you know, small businesses, and we're going to be willing to pay twice the amount that we normally pay. Normally, we want only the most competitive bids, but we're going to say we're going to take non-competitive bids if they're for small businesses, right? Mm-hmm. And that is, again, another way to stimulate the economy. They can also do things like tax holidays and say, you know, like some states have, you know, if you make less than $5 million a year in gross revenue, you don't get taxed as a business. They can do that for individuals. They can do that for taxes. There's all kinds of levers that they can pull beyond just interest rates and inflation and printing money.
We've seen some movement with the interest rates. So my question is, I'm asking you to put on the little shiny thing around your head to be our finance doctor. So is the patient, the economy doing well, or is it in a bad state, or is it recovering? Where are we?
That's a good question. I think that our economy, when I look at, like, you know, the vitals, if you were to take the vitals of our economy, and you look at, you know, so you take, you know, you take your blood pressure, right? You get on the scale, right? You take, you draw some blood, you look at your cholesterol, right? Mm-hmm. So when we look at all the different data points for our economy, most of the data points are very healthy, right? The things that you would look at are like, how many people are employed? What's the average employment rate? Are wages increasing? Are they increasing in place with inflation? So when you look at most of them, they're okay. When you look at them, and when you look at some of them, though, they're not so okay. So like inflation, our wages keeping pace with inflation, that's not a healthy one. But we do have an explanation for that, right? Inflation, nobody's keeping pace with inflation because of energy, right? We know that that's transitory. So really, we kind of need to focus on making sure we do things to help people recover, like make sure that that inflation is transitory and not permanent. And if it becomes permanent, the government should incentivize businesses to raise people's wages so that people don't get stuck again like 2009, right, where people didn't have wage growth for 10 years because there was no incentive to give them wage growth. Mm. So there's a lot of really healthy data points. There's also some very concerning data points. And that's why I say, like, we're on a knife's edge. I think if we look back in 10 years from now, I think our economy is going to be good. The markets may stay the same. Like, if you told me 10 years from now that the market, you know, didn't increase in value, I wouldn't be surprised by that. A little bit surprised, but not entirely, because it's very possible that what will happen is the people who are winners today become losers and new winners get formed. And so we may not add more value to the stock market, not by much when you adjust it for inflation, but it's going to be different players in the game. So that means as an investor, there's opportunity to make money, but as a market as a whole, it may not actually increase in value.
We're looking at the recession through the lens of a person who's ready to retire. So you've got the baby boomers who they're really leaving companies in droves right now. So as we look at this and we're trying to shore up on both ends at the same time, a both ends approach, is gold still a good safe haven right now, or should we abandon it?
So gold is a weird store of value. So traditionally, gold was, you know, a currency. And it was because there was a limited amount of gold in the world, and gold could be melted down, and you could use it of value for anywhere. Everyone used, you know, could use it of value in jewelry, right? You could make pots. It was very easy to turn it into something, and everyone valued it. And then we stopped using gold as currency, right? I mean, Fort Knox has got something I just read recently. It's $190 billion worth of gold that no one's ever attempted to break into. But really, it's gold that doesn't have much use as currency. What it does have use, though, for recently is in electronics, because it's a really good conductor of electricity. So gold as a store of currency, of value, that way, it's doesn't hold up over time when you look at it historically. However, recently it has increased in value because of its value as a precious metal, because it's a rare metal that's used in electronics, and it's becoming more increasingly harder to come by. But I would not run to gold, because let's say we really are in a recession, and let's say this is really the recession that everyone who runs to gold is talking about, and the market tanks and it goes down 80% and it's the end of the world, right? If it really is the end of the world, guess what? Nobody's building new electronics.
True.
So they're not going to need your gold. And your gold isn't really going to be worth anything, because people are going to want food, not gold. So, like, I don't think it's going to hold up over the long term as a good store of value. Having said that, I mean, listen, if you do think that the civilized world is going to end, having precious metals that you can easily carry and trade, I mean, that's always helped people move around the world. So
makes a lot of sense. We're just about out of time. I'm sorry I let the clock go by, but how can we get more information about the recession and how we can navigate through what we find ourselves in right now as we try to come out of the throes of the pandemic?
So over the next few weeks, yieldsforyou.com, keep an eye out, podcast episodes, blogs, market updates. I'm going to be putting out a lot of content to help you keep up to date and help you make sure that you are making the most of your retirement savings and taking advantage of the opportunities that are out there.
So, Lival, I asked you a couple of minutes ago how the patient was doing. So, in a word, is a patient going to live? Is the economy going to survive?
The economy is going to survive. I think the economy is going to do great. I am personally not worried about the United States economy. We still make up over 22% of the world economy. So we're not going anywhere. And China right now is too focused on themselves. So they're going to be pulling themselves out a little bit of the world economy. So I think we're okay. I'm more worried about the short term, like the next 2 to 3 years. And I'm really concerned about this election cycle, because this election cycle, I think, is going to be bring a huge amount of volatility to the markets. And politicians on both sides of the aisle are going to use this, everything in the news, to their advantage. And it's going to look hectic.
Thank you, Leibel. We look forward to hearing from you again next week. Leibel's website is LeibelOnFire.com. That's LeibelOnFire.com. And more New Beginnings is straight ahead.
In today's world, we really need words of encouragement. Introducing Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell. Let your mind be opened by the wisdom of thought. Let the inspiration of the words feed your mind, body, and spirit. Regardless of the issues you face each day, Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell can help you power through. Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell, a handy reference, available on Amazon, FreddieBell.com, and Barnes & Noble.
Thanks so much for hanging with us this week on New Beginnings. And right now it's time for It Happened This Week. The White House says President Biden spoke with European leaders about the need to protect a nuclear power plant in Ukraine. Russian forces took control of the plant months ago, and there have been skirmishes and shellings near the nuclear power plant. Biden spoke with leaders of France, Germany, and the UK on the need to avoid military operations near the power station in southern Ukraine. It's the largest nuclear power plant in Europe. Representative Liz Cheney says there's no evidence the raid on former President Trump's Mar-a-Lago residence was political. Appearing on ABC's This Week, the embattled Wyoming Republican went on to say that she was ashamed and disgusted that not only did Trump release names of FBI agents involved in the raid, but that members of her own party attacked the agency for doing their job. Cheney warned it would only lead to violence or more threats of violence. The world's second largest movie theater owner confirmed it may file for bankruptcy in the United States. The company owning the Regal chain in the United States says it's considering a voluntary Chapter 11 filing. The Wall Street Journal reports that the theater operator was preparing to file for bankruptcy. And investigators in South Korea are looking for a woman who might be the mother of two children whose remains were found in suitcases that were part of a storage unit auction in New Zealand. A police officer in Seoul told reporters the woman age and past address indicate she could be the children's mother. Police say she's a Korean-born New Zealander who hasn't left South Korea since arriving there 4 years ago. It happened this week, and I'm Freddie Bell.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hi again, everyone, and welcome to New Beginnings. And with us is Joe McKenzie. He is the founder of Ripple Connects. He turns candidates into contenders. And Joe McKenzie, how can our audience reach you if they like more information following today's conversation?
The best way would be my website, and that's rippleconnects.com. I've got different resources on there for people in career transition. Or they can call me directly at 763-438-1621. I'd be glad to talk through any kind of areas that they want to focus on in regards to their career.
Sounds great. I smiled when I saw the title for today. You're talking about training camp for new job seekers. I didn't realize there was a training camp for people looking for opportunities.
Well, it may not look like the Vikings training camp, but the mindset is still the same. The strongest hiring months are traditionally January, February, March, that are coming up. And if we're not ready, if we're not filled with self-confidence about what we've done in our careers or how to communicate that effectively, in highly competitive hiring situations, we may not be able to deliver. And that's where the training camp mindset comes in, that iron sharpens iron. Just we've accomplished great things, Freddie, but if we can't cite them specifically, if we can't communicate effectively, quantifiably what we've done, how we've done it, we may, someone else could win that competition. And that's where the training camp mindset is. I know that I even put myself through several rounds of getting myself better because I need to make sure that I have someone that's going to make me stronger. And that's through the coaching. That is through, sitting down with people that you know and trust, new methods, And that's really the mindset that I want to bring here today. Let's get ready for those strong hiring months, Freddie. Let's not take the fall off.
That makes
let's
a lot of
ready.
Sense.
Let's get prepared.
That's really sage advice, and it's interesting. So I guess like training camp, before the training camp, there are OTAs. So now this is the time to start getting ready for training camp. Is that right?
Yes, yes. And knowing that those months are not that far ahead, you know, we're talking, what, three months, you know, 4 months before employers are actively hiring because of a lot of different reasons, you know, new budgets, new just everything that opens up. We have to be ready. And I've worked with a lot of people who feel they're always ready. And I don't know. Let's be honest. We don't interview that often in our careers, right? We have jobs, but you know, if you really start to think about how many hours we've actually interviewed for jobs in our careers, it's very small compared to the rest of our career. And things have changed. So, you know, maybe 30 years ago, the STAR method, you know, how to answer a behavior-based question using situations, your task and your accomplishments and the results, probably wasn't even refined at that point. So for us to take our years of experience and think that it may do well in an interview setting, when an employer is looking for specific information, some citing specific examples of relevant accomplishments that they're looking, that if we're not taking the time to make ourselves better, someone else is. And that's the training camp mentality that we have to get ready for those months ahead. We can't just show up on day one of the season and say, I'm ready. That is good. Probably you're taking too much risk by not getting yourself ready when you have this opportunity now to start focusing on the strongest hiring months just ahead.
So when are the strongest hiring months, Joe McKenzie?
Traditionally, they're January, February, March of most years. And I think, you know, yes, there's low unemployment. Companies are hiring today, but we also see some new shifts. We see new projects that are coming online, new budgets that are opening. And that's when we see employers really respond to bringing on people. And that's what we need to we have to keep that top of mind when we start preparing ourselves to enter that training camp mentality, to enter that, hey, how do I get myself stronger than I was a year ago? I have new accomplishments. Who can help me? What kind of resources can I access? How can I effectively communicate what I've done in the midst of, you know, 2.5 years of a pandemic? Because that employer is looking for that type of input into this interviewing process. I think that's where we need to be. We can't just wing it. We can't just show up on day one of the season and expect to perform.
Very interesting. Everybody, we're talking with Joe McKenzie. He is the founder of Ripple Connects. We're talking about training camp for new job seekers. And we just learned that the best or the hottest hiring months of any year are typically January through March. So from now through the end of the year, what would you suggest to job seekers to be focusing upon?
I think they need to focus upon what they've accomplished here in this past year and how are they going to take those accomplishments and break it down so it's yours. It's your input, your quantifiable measure to it. And how are you going to effectively communicate that to an employer? If it is practicing in an interview, mock interview setting with friends and family or a professional coach, schedule that. If you do not know what you've accomplished or you're having a hard time quantifying it, you know, look for resources that will help you to do that. And that is, you know, a process that many people miss out. They think their accomplishments may speak for themselves, but if you can't effectively communicate them, then you may be missing the mark with a potential employer. So yes, now is the time to get ready. But also, Freddie, this is now the time to understand what some of the employers need. And we'll in the coming weeks, we'll talk about how to stand out in an interview setting. Well, often it's because you understand what that employer is trying to accomplish. And getting that type of information from either, you know, online or firsthand from people, that will also help you strengthen your mindset, your competitive mindset to achieve those goals of getting a new job in 2023.
So what are some things that I can do? I'm that new guy. I'm looking to change careers. I have a job right now. There's a person sitting next to me who doesn't have an opportunity. What is something common that both of us can do presently to get ready for January?
Just know that those months are ahead. Know that you've got some recent accomplishments, really, with the pandemic, all the challenges that it's presented employers and employees. You know, think about how you've overcome some of those challenges, Freddie. You know, think about how you had to do it different than just 3 years ago, because often people are going to be put in those similar settings. They may be working virtual, maybe working as a team virtual. I think just taking stock of your accomplishments and work your way back on how you did that. How did you adapt? How did you work, you know, together as a team virtually to drive these type of accomplishments, as many of those situations are occurring today? That is what I would tell the person that's next to you. I would tell you that. But also just, you know, don't go it alone. You know, look for people that are going to make you stronger. And that is something that often gets overlooked, is that other people can make us stronger. Yes, we have the accomplishments. We got those results, Freddie. But maybe there's areas that we can strengthen. And that could be just communicating our accomplishments. You know, often we feel like it's braggadocious to talk about our accomplishments, or I worked as a team, so therefore I shouldn't talk about it because it was all of us that drove these results. If you're not comfortable going that path, then it's going to show in an interview setting where you're going to underestimate and undervalue what you accomplished. Mm-hmm. So now is the time to get that story, your story ready, your accomplishments, your star stories ready, just so you can understand, you can talk about the situations, the task that you had and the accomplishments and the end result. And you start thinking that way, Freddie. That is really how that star method helps us to compose our thoughts, to give clear, concise answers. If we're not willing to refine our interviewing skills, then we're just really leaving it to chance with employers that are actually looking for relevant examples of your work so they can apply apple to apple to another applicant.
That makes a lot of sense. Joe, we got to leave it right there and really highlight the fine work you do at Ripple Connects.
Thank you, Freddie Bell. Yes, we turn candidates into contenders.
And we'll be back with more.
Introducing the New Beginnings podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
Get the most from AARP, including advice and support to help you care for your loved ones. Fraud prevention with tips and tools to help protect you from scams and fraud, including a free helpline if you've been targeted, a scam tracking map, and watchdog alerts via email through the AARP Fraud Watch Network. If you don't know AARP, you don't know ARP.
More information at AARP.org. In today's world, we really need words of encouragement. Introducing Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell. Let your mind be opened by the wisdom of thought. Let the inspiration of the words feed your mind, body, and spirit. Regardless of the issues you face each day, Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell can help you power through. Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell, a handy reference. Available on Amazon, FreddieBell.com, and Barnes & Noble.
Thanks so much for listening this week. If there's something that you hear that strikes your fancy, tweet me at Freddie Bell. And did you know that it's National Be an Angel Day? On this day, it encourages good deeds and kindness to others. By supporting those in need and inspiring others to kindness, we display an act of an angel here on earth. The day also recognizes those who have been angels to us. Sometimes we can have a terrible day. Whether it's bad news or poor planning, we all have them. A kind word, a hug, or even a pleasant atmosphere makes a difference. Other times, days, even weeks can be devastating. A loss, an illness, or overwhelming news takes the wind out of our sails. These angels provide comfort at a time when we need it most. The same happens to people around us. We don't always know what others are going through. We can be an angel in big and small ways, and whether we know it or not, little things do count. National Be an Angel Day. And hear today's words to the wise. Allow your joy to shine. That's page 18 of the book, Words to the Wise. Allow your joy to shine. Find me on social media, on Instagram at Freddie Bell Radio, or send me a tweet at Freddie Bell. And of course, you know the website is FreddieBell.com. We'll be right back. Unity South Twin Cities is located at 7950 First Avenue South in Bloomington, with two services each Sunday at 9 and at 10:30 a.m. Senior Minister James Stacy is sharing a lesson today entitled Night and Day. We join in progress.
A power, to put it in unity language, that is only with us when we speak the right words, when we hold the right thoughts, when we hold the right loving feelings. But when we're challenged, when times are rough and painful, God is there. Or we are saying our God is limited. Our God only shows up on the sunny days like this and leaves us alone when the world challenges us, or even when we challenge ourselves and struggle with doubt and fear and that dreaded sense of not being good enough or being unworthy. Night and day, you are the one underneath the sun and the moon. Wherever we are, you are the one, the pulse of life within us. My friends, we can count on that. We can depend on that. But what is required? Special unity jargon? Catholic theology? Fundamentalist principles? No, all is required is the desire of your heart to acknowledge that you are never alone. As Myrtle says, to have the wisdom and the faith to do what yours is to do in the world, and then realize there will be a time, a night time of the soul, when you've reached the end of the road that you can see. But you can turn within. However you practice that, you can shift the rhythm. You can concentrate on your breath, on your pulse, and know that life is with you. And once again, you will be given direction, a new view of your life, a new hope, a new dream, a new love, a new relationship. You'll begin to see new possibilities. But it's up to you. God never forces us to love. God never forces us to be wise. God never forces us to do anything. It is up to us. Spirit provides substance, life, opportunity, if we but take it. If we but take it. Unity taught in its early days, and I endeavor as a Unity historian to continually turn to it, but it's not the eternal and everlasting mystery. Many religious traditions have taught this. This idea of balance. How did Unity teach it in our form of spiritual practice? Well, the answer is so simple. I'm not going to give you a test. I'm not going to make you write it down so I can collect your papers and grade them. You know our fundamental idea. Affirmations and denials. But in recent years, affirmations have become the main focus. Let's just affirm everything in a positive way. What we want in life, what we want in our community, what we want in our world. And indeed, this is very important. But our founder, Charles Fillmore, said something very interesting. It's always stuck in my mind. Lots of things stick in my mind. But he said, we have affirmations and denials. The practice of denial should always come first. Thank you, Sharon. A good licensed Unity teacher knows these things. And why is that? What is a denial? A denial is a statement releasing an untruth or limited idea about ourselves, another, the world, so that we can be healed. We can be free. We can let go of that less than good idea we've been holding about ourselves or about another. Charles even gave a very graphic image to help you remember this. He said, when you have a wound on your body, do you bandage it first? No. You cleanse it. You cleanse away the dirt that may be in the wound. Then you can bandage it with salves and medicines and prepare it for its affirmative healing, for it becoming whole and well. But first, you cleanse. And he saw this as the part of the denial process. Another word for denial is to release, is renunciation, is forgiveness, is letting go anything that is not the truth of what God created you to be. That must be let go so that then you can use the power of affirmative, positive thought to build up, strengthen yourself for new opportunities, new methods, as Myrtle called them, new ways of being. And so I like to feel, well, I'm going to put that stronger, I believe that Unity, from its earliest days, through the Fillmores, Emily Cady, and other wonderful teachers, taught us of this balance. To not be one-sided, even in our religious devotion, even in our practice of Unity. I'll give you a quick example. When I was in ministerial school, we had a course on special services. And of course, that included funerals and memorial services. And so we were given some services from many years ago, and the one I was given to study and describe, but I remember the opening line, We will not waste one more minute in needless grief and suffering.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the senior minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org.
RippleConnects.com, connecting you to your better future. Hi, I'm Joe McKenzie, founder of Ripple Connects and trainer of Ripple Effect Networking. Establishing and maintaining a strong professional network is critical to you and your organization's success. My techniques will help you stand out so you can create new sales opportunities, develop and sustain meaningful connections, grow your franchise or small business. If you want to schedule Joe McKenzie to speak to your organization, email me, joe.mckenzie@rippleconnects.com. Your network plus my techniques equals more success for you.
Get the most from AARP, including advice and support to help you care for your loved ones. Fraud prevention with tips and tools to help protect you from scams and fraud, including a free helpline if you've been targeted, a scam tracking map, and watchdog alerts via email through the AARP Fraud Watch Network. If you don't know AARP, you don't know ARP.
More information at AARP.org.
Thanks to all of our guests who joined us this week, including Dr. Michael Osterholm, Lipo Sternbach, Joe McKenzie, and our friends from Unity South Twin Cities. I'm Freddie Bell. If you missed any portions of our show, you can find us online at freddiebell.com. Better yet, follow me on Instagram, Freddie Bell Radio, and you can tweet at me at Freddie Bell. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our show. And this reminder that every day is certainly a chance for a new beginning.